But when JFK was assassinated in 1963, the Zapruder film provided investigators with key evidence of the shooting. Now, 50 years later, crime scene investigation has evolved into a complex science. And now with smartphones and tablets and other devices, video footage of events is readily available to assist investigators in solving crimes. Now, a conversation with experts about what tools investigators have at their disposal today, including cell phone video, private surveillance video, street light mounted cameras, and more, and the legalities of seizing video from private cameras. With us is Gary Kessler. He's an associate professor at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida and an expert in cybersecurity and digital forensics. Gary, it's nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
And here in the studio with me is Travis Forbes. He's the Independence Police Department's deputy chief, who's written a textbook on investigations and teaches a course on crime scene investigation here at UMKC. Travis, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Gary Kessler, let's begin with a recent real-life example of the use of crowdsourcing and the use of digital cameras and surveillance video to crack one big case. I'm thinking of the Boston Marathon bombing. Without those tools, would authorities have been able to break that case, Gary?
Well, certainly the massive amount of video that the authorities had there from not only the surveillance and security cameras from the area, but from all of the video that individuals that were on the scene gave over to law enforcement. And one of the most interesting aspects of that situation, I believe, is the fact that folks willingly gave up video to help law enforcement. And it was information that I cannot imagine the set of circumstances where law enforcement could have even compelled them to give that video had law enforcement even known that they had it. And so we always talk about the delicate balance of questioning our right of privacy and the civil rights versus our perceived level of security. And the Boston Marathon bombing and the way the public stepped forward to provide information to the police, I think, is just an interesting example on how people are dealing with, you know, what information they will willingly give up because they believe they're getting security from it, whereas there are other issues. We talk frequently about the Patriot Act, where we believe that government is going too far in limiting our rights and our privacy to supposedly give us some level of security.
And so, Gary, in the case of the Boston Marathon bombing, did folks actually just walk down to their nearby police departments and say, hey, I've got this film on my camera, do you want it?
Well, my understanding, I was not intimately involved, I was not involved at all with the investigation. Certainly the understanding is that many people were going forward and effectively doing exactly that.
Well, Deputy Chief Forbes, there are all these cameras these days. You know, they're everywhere, security cameras and red light cameras and cameras mounted in police cars. And I'm assuming that that makes solving crimes and finding out what happened at a crime scene a whole lot easier than it used to. Am I right about that?
Yes, in most cases it is. You know, it's almost overwhelming at times, the different sources that we have available to us. Somebody actually has to sift through those sources, too. An investigator has to sit down and look at those videos to make sure it's relevant to the case or actually valuable, and sift through the information that's not and the information that is. So it can be helpful, but also a hindrance, and it takes a lot of manpower to do that.
You know, Gary was just talking about this notion of folks sort of surrendering voluntarily the video they had on their phones at the Boston Marathon bombing. In Independence, in cases that aren't nearly as, you know, front page news as what Gary just described, are you finding the same thing? Are Independent citizens willing to come forward and say, hey, Deputy Chief, I've got this video on my camera, have at it?
Absolutely. We had a case not too long ago where there was a shooting in a busy shopping area, and an individual caught the suspect fleeing on his cell phone, turned over that image to us, and we were able to put it out to the media, and it helped solve the case. We got a tip on who the person was.
So, and that person just voluntarily came forward and said, look what I got on my camera here.
Yes, they were very cooperative. Most people in a terrorist incident like Boston or some incident where there's a threat of violence, they are very cooperative, by my experience. and sharing that type of video.
So I guess in one sense, you're saying, Travis, that this is a whole new era in law enforcement. You have a whole lot more, bad pun, guns in your arsenal sort of to solve crimes. You have a whole lot more weapons at your disposal than you used to have.
Yeah, it fits kind of with the community policing concept that the people are our eyes and ears, and now we have people who have high-definition cameras in their pockets that they turn over the video for us at certain crime scenes.
Gary Kessler from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida. With all these cameras around, how much of an edge does that give law enforcement today compared to 20 years ago? Can you quantify it?
Well, I think Travis's point about sometimes us being overwhelmed with information is extraordinarily well taken.
Huh.
But also to his point, 20 years ago, the Rodney King incident was captured on video, and it was total coincidence that there was somebody there with a video camera to get that on tape.
And this was the footage of him being beaten by the police officers in Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, a high percentage of the population is walking around with smartphones, which means a high percentage of the population is walking around with video cameras and high-definition cameras that they can whip out on a moment's notice. And today, if the Rodney King incident were to happen again, you would be amazed if there was only one person who provided video.
Yeah.
And so what certainly in my neck of the woods, since I deal a lot with computer forensics, is the fact that computers and now, well, mobile devices in particular now, are increasingly the target or the instrument or the record keeper of criminal activity.
Hmm.
And since so many people are used to whipping out their phone on a moment's notice and taking pictures of things, there is a wealth of potential information out there.
Now, I think I would still fumble to find my video button on my camera. I got to work on that, I guess. Travis,
my 5-year-old granddaughter could whip it much quicker than either one of us.
Travis Forbes, again, with the Independence Police Department. You've alluded to this notion that sometimes there's almost too much evidence. Is that really a problem? I mean, are you having your investigators having to sort through video and picture after picture to sort of get to what they're looking for here?
Yeah, that's a significant problem. Not only that, the storage capacity required.
Oh.
There's only so much you can do to compress a video file. And so we've had to purchase massive amounts of video storage just to keep some of these files. Some of these we have to keep for years and years because they're involved in homicide cases or cases that can go through the appeals process.
You got to make sure those videos then are in safe storage. You can't have a lightning storm knock out your evidence, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. But it's a good problem to have, though, I gather. I mean, if you have to buy more storage capacity, there are worse problems for a police department to have these days.
Yeah, I mean, again, it solves some of the crimes that we have. The investigators are often wondering, how did this progress? And they have to piece it together. Well, with a video, many times it's quite apparent how it progressed. You see the entire incident happen right before your eyes.
You know, Gary Kessler, this notion that we are so inundated with security cameras and red light cameras these days. What about the potential for an invasion of privacy? How much is that factor sort of intersecting here with this availability of so much evidence? Are we seeing many legal problems when it comes to sort of the privacy aspect of all this?
Well, I'm certainly not a lawyer or a privacy expert in that regard, but certainly I know enough to know that I'm surrendering a certain amount of my privacy when I'm in public spaces. So when I walk into the 7-Eleven, even if I don't perhaps consciously think about the fact that there is a video camera in the store, I certainly, if I were to think about it, would probably be aware that there is a camera in the store. And I would have really no reasonable expectation of privacy, again, in the store, mm-hmm. public mm-hmm. space. And interestingly, of course, I as an individual can't violate your perceived right of privacy. If I were a police officer taking your picture while you were doing something, even inside your home, the police officer might have difficulty getting that introduced as evidence. But if I take your picture doing something and then I give it to the police, as I said, the police have no legal issue whether they can use the film or not.
Mm-hmm. You know, Travis Forbes, how much power does the government have in cases like this when it comes to compelling people to turn over video that they might have picked up at any one event where a crime occurred? How much power do you guys have to go out and get stuff?
Well, again, I'm not an attorney as well,
yeah.
but basically we're looking at the same situation where we have to get a search warrant to compel somebody to provide a video to us.
And you guys do that?
Yes, we do in certain cases.
Do you have any trouble getting those warrants approved?
Not usually. The facts and circumstances have to give us probable cause to seize that video. So a judge has agreed with us that probable cause exists, gives us the actual paper warrant, and we go to retrieve that video.
And that would mean that probable cause exists. You're saying that someone was in the vicinity and would have had a reasonable chance of actually recording the crime, and that's the evidence that you have to be able to provide to a judge to get that video then?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Is there any one type of camera, Travis, that has wound up helping police the most, red light cameras, body cameras that police might be thinking about these days? What camera has proven to be sort of a gold mine for you guys?
Well, our in-dash video cameras in our police cars have been particularly valuable. You know, officers pull over people or just respond to calls for service and capture incidents right there from their police car. We haven't gotten into the body cameras quite yet because they're all an expense. It's $2,000 to $4,000 for an in-car video system. So you can imagine for an entire fleet of vehicles, that's quite expensive.
Are you guys looking at the possibility of having your officers wear cameras on their own bodies as they go out and do their daily work?
Yes, we investigate all the technology that comes our way that could be beneficial. It's just a matter of cost and funds and resources available.
Yeah. Can you foresee a day, Gary Kessler, when police officers are all wearing body cameras of one kind or another?
Well, it's funny you ask that. In Daytona Beach, body cameras were pretty recently introduced, and there's already been one major case that's been reported here. It was of a shooting. And the body cameras that the police officers were wearing actually calmed down a number of community groups that were very concerned about the incident. But when they saw the film from the body cameras on the police officer, everybody got a much better picture of what had happened.
Oh, that's interesting. Travis, would you want to see more cameras out there? I mean, if we're at this point now where we have cameras on red lights and we have cameras in police cars, why not put cameras in my neighborhood to sort of deter burglary and robbery and other things that could happen? Why not?
Yeah, a lot of police departments are going that direction, particularly in areas where there's a high amount of crime. They'll deploy mobile cameras or have a fixed camera.
And put them where?
In neighborhoods like you're just talking. Usually it's higher density populations. You know, in suburban areas, like a big part of our city is, it's more difficult because you'd have to have numerous cameras to cover a city block in a suburban area.
Again, can you foresee a day? Are we heading in that direction? Is that sort of inevitable once costs come down and people warm up to the idea?
Possibly, but again, I think the fact that so many people have their own cameras, that kind of does the same thing, really. It's become a point where you are in public, you kind of expect that a camera is most likely pointed at you.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. We're talking about sort of the new wave of crime investigation involving smartphones and tablets and other devices that's giving law enforcement a big leg up. 816-235-2888. Let's go to Walter from Kansas City, Missouri. Walter, you're on the show.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm curious if there's any oversight in general for anybody in the public domain talking about individuals' ability to access the recordings of, say, cameras that are on a street corner or something. For instance, law enforcement may have an interest in following up a crime that they're interested in prosecuting. Sometimes citizens might be victims either of a crime or some civil, possibly civil proceeding. And I'm wondering, is there any standards or protocol for the citizens? Do they have a right to access those things for their benefit?
Gary Kessler?
I would defer this to the to the police chief.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're on, Travis.
That's almost a legal question as well. You know, I kind of think about the public cameras that we have in the Kansas City area, and Scout comes to mind. But Scout is publicly available. It's broadcast online. You can actually pull it up on your computer right now and see the traffic patterns in certain intersections and such. So
that's live, though, right?
Yeah, that's live. And it's my understanding they do not tape that, but a citizen could take that feed and tape it themselves, I would assume. So that's still an area I think that's starting to evolve.
What if a citizen wants to get a recording from a police camera? Can I access that as a citizen?
Yes, we're subject to the Missouri Sunshine Law. So a lot of that video evidence is discoverable.
And do people take advantage of that? Are you seeing citizens saying, I want to see Officer So-and-So's camera video from this night?
Yes, occasionally we do get citizen requests. Most of our requests originate from attorneys or from the media.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gary Kessler, I'm wondering, we began this conversation by talking about the Boston Marathon bombing. Have there been other high-profile crimes that were aided dramatically through the use of video technology that maybe wasn't around 20 years ago?
Well, I don't know that I could tell you about too many individual cases. Certainly from the listservs that I'm on, I'm reading about cases all the time where, you know, a member of the community may have stepped forward and provided video of an event, and that has been the source of keeping an investigation going. Certainly, in some of the work that I do, I do a fair amount of work with the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force.
Mm.
We investigate Internet-facilitated and technology-facilitated crimes against children, including child pornography, child sexual exploitation, and crimes such as that. And, of course, we get an incredible amount of information off of people's cell phones because people are taking movies of themselves or each other doing things that, quite frankly, they're not supposed to be doing. And then it's on their phone. Sometimes any number of indiscreet photos or footage has found its way onto social media sites. And so between the social media sites, which, of course, we didn't really have that much even 10 years ago, and the quick access to cameras that people will use, you know, at any drop of the hat, that's also, you know, relatively new in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. Deputy Chief Forbes, I was going to ask about social media sites like, you know, Facebook. Are you guys using Facebook in investigating crimes?
We use every resource we have available.
I mean,
to
why
us.
Not,
social
right?
Social media certainly fits that. And that's a point I was going to make is some of these videos people don't turn over to us. They post them to social media.
Thank you very much,
widely
right?
Widely available to the entire public.
Do you have to get any authorization or clearance to go ahead and access someone's Facebook account?
Oh, absolutely. It's the same type of search warrant procedure.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes.
Well, if I can just go on as a citizen and access someone's Facebook page, why can't you guys without
a
search warrant?
I assumed you meant a privately set Facebook account that was restricted. If it's publicly available, I mean, that's certainly fair game to law enforcement.
So you just can't friend a bad guy and expect to be friended
right.
back.
Yes.
And just grease the skids that way, then it doesn't sound like.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Shows like CSI, Travis, sort of make makes things look like you can, get enhanced video to see things off of, tapes that are made and given to you guys. And you can see things that maybe you couldn't see before. Is that really the case?
There's not a whole lot that you can do. You can certainly, it's almost like a photograph. If you've ever photoshopped a photograph at home, you can brighten it up and make it look a little bit better. But if you have a terrible video from the beginning, you can make it slightly less terrible, basically, in the lab. Some of the things that you see are a little bit of a stretch on those crime scene shows.
And just a final point, Travis, do you worry about citizen reporters getting in the way? Are folks so eager to get something recorded, they're rushing out to crime scenes, accidents, or whatever, and getting in the way of police to record an event?
Occasionally that happens, but it hasn't been a significant problem for us.
Yeah. So not a big problem.
Not a big problem so far.
Gary, are you hearing that that's a big problem for anybody?
No, it hasn't yet. Certainly, in my experience, hasn't been a big problem. And Travis's point about the ability to enhance photographs and enhance videos is exactly spot on. We can get a little bit better, but not nearly what they can do on TV.
Okay. I should point out that tomorrow at 10, KCUR continues looking at how some metro area entertainment venues are embracing smartphone technology while others aren't so happy about it. That's tomorrow morning at 10 on Central Standard. I want to thank our guests here, Gary Kessler, again, an associate professor at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University down in Florida. Gary, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
And also Travis Forbes, a deputy chief with the Independence Police Department. Travis, thanks so much for your time, too. I sure appreciate it.
My pleasure, Steve.